Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And I will be filling in as host for Mike Miller today. Our guest host will be Steve Millett. We're having him back. He was on a couple of weeks ago. He is a plant and pest doctor, a pest technician for a St. Louis family-owned company. And, of course, we will be taking your phone calls and questions for Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Scott. How are you? You have a good weekend and good week, I hear, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. I want to congratulate Chuck. I've known Chuck. He did this last week.
Yeah, he was on last week.
And Chuck and I, we've known each other for 30 years. Chuck and I are buddies. We go way back to Truman State University in Kirksville. And we were both botany majors, and we both worked in the same herbarium with Dr. Melvin Conrad. He was a wonderful professor. He taught us all about local flora. It's still one of the most popular classes down there at Truman State. And it's just a great university. A lot of you from the St. Louis area go there, I know. They've got a really good biology program. Chuck and I were the last two botany majors there. So they broke the mold after they got rid of us, I guess is what they did. So, but yeah, Chuck, he did the show with me, I think, when you guys were down, KMOX was still down on Market Street, and we had a blast doing that. So maybe we'll get the brothers, Botany Brothers back together.
Yeah, that's before my time when KMOX was down there. Oh, I do have some questions about this, but I want to get the phone numbers out first. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question for Steve, there are two options. You can call 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. Or we do have an 800 number, but you got to dial the 1. It is 1-800-925-1120. 1-800-925-1120. So did they get rid of the botany major? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they got rid of the major. It was emphasis is what they called it. You could have a minor in it, I guess, and they got rid of it, yeah. So it was. They don't even have the catalogs anymore, so, yeah.
What I was going to say is, I know what I wanted to ask you. Why did you decide to get into botany in the first place? What was it that inspired you?
Oh, yeah, that was another professor, Max Bell. I took botany, general botany, and he was a good old boy from southern Missouri, and he'd say, "Well, Steve, you stubbed your toe on that first quiz, didn't you? Yeah, you got to study a little harder." Yeah, he would tell us, you know, stories about, you know, always peel the green eyes out of a potato if you're making potato soup, because there's an ingredient in there, solene, I think is what it is, that causes people to get sick. So just stories like that. He's got a lot of character, and I love him. Bell and Conrad were just amazing. So, and then after that, I graduated from Truman. I went to Clemson in South Carolina. I got my master's there in plant pest management. And then I went to University of Wisconsin in Madison, a great state of the Badgers, and a party school. And it was just a great, I got my PhD up there, and I've done some several things. I was a university fellow at Southeast Missouri State for a while. I started their viticulture program down there. I volunteered for U.S. Agency of International Development in Malawi, in Africa. I helped a group of 40 women growers and helped them with, you know, identifying soil, working with chicken manure compost, and tried to get them going on hydroponics and everything. So it was one of the coolest things I've done. So I've done a lot of things, and now I'm a pest control operator, and I love it. It's just amazing.
Viticulture.
Yeah.
Give me a definition of that.
Viticulture is the growing of grapes.
And, that's what I thought.
And then viniculture is the making of wine. So, and right. Boy, I'm telling you, those association trade meetings, they say, okay, we're going to have a break now. There's a wine out in the hallway. 10 o'clock? Lunch. Oh, we're going to have wine for lunch. Wine for lunch?
It's never too early.
And then there's a break in the afternoon with wine. And then, of course, the dinner at night, they've got, you know, a plethora of wine selection to pair with each little individual dish and everything. So that was a heavy drinking association.
Well, I know quite a bit about wine. Not the growing of it necessarily, the drinking of it.
Yeah.
I also worked at a winery. So I have
Which
some,
one?
Cooper's Hawk.
Okay.
So it just was a, you know, an opportunity to learn more about the whole venue of wine. And I learned so much. I had a brother-in-law who was, he was a sommelier.
Uh-huh.
So I learned a lot from him. He would do crazy tests where we would find a bottle he didn't know, and then he would figure it out.
Yeah.
Just by tasting it, which was
what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one, it was in the 90s, and we brought it up from the basement at somebody's house
mm-hmm.
who we had never been there. And I said, you know, let's do it. And so they brought it up and I put it in my lap and we poured it for everybody. And then he told us about what he thought it was. And he just went through the whole process of, well, I think it's a South American wine. I think,
oh my goodness,
certainly Cabernet. And then he said, well, there are 7 wineries in Chile that distribute to the United States, and it was a rainy season, I can tell, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at the wine bottle, and I'm like, there's no way he's going to get it. He got the exact vineyard year, and it was amazing. So I learned a lot from him, and I love talking about wine.
So did he ever introduce you to the aroma wheel? I got to meet.
Yeah.
Did he? I got to meet Ann Nobles, Dr. Ann Nobles, out at University of California, Davis. She invented this aroma wheel because people, the wine critics would come and say, "This wine reminds me of a beach breeze and a warm, sunny day in South America." It's like, no, that's not no. You know, so she's got this whole wheel. You know, it's got herbaceous, it's got fruity, it's got sour, it's got even like a diesel fuel aroma.
Yeah, I know.
To
there's some unusual
wet dog.
Tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things in there. Dirt.
Yes.
Like, I don't taste the dirt.
Yeah.
I get the earthy idea.
Well, this was the aroma. So, but the nose is closely tied to your taste, your olfactory glands. So mm-hmm. if you like close your nose, you can't really taste very much.
Yeah.
And so part of that, the whole enjoyment of wine is, you know, you take that wine glass and you circle it, and mm-hmm. then you look for the legs, and then you sniff it, and then that's where you get the aromas, and then you taste it, because part of the taste of the wine is the aroma as well.
Yeah, and then sitting on the back of your tongue, you can really
The way it changes, the dynamics,
changes,
it's like incredible.
It's pretty fascinating, and I found that I could tell the difference between certain varietals, obviously. Color makes a big difference mm-hmm. when you tilt the glass. You can tell a Pinot from a Cab easily. But from like a price standpoint, I was thinking, you know, I could probably tell an $80 bottle of wine from a $20 bottle of wine, but there's no way I could tell the difference between an $80 bottle of wine and a $200 or a $500 or whatever.
Wow.
There's shades,
yes.
You know. And anyway, because my brother-in-law was a general manager for a country club and a sommelier, he had access to many, many vineyards in California, and he would go out and visit them. And I remember there was one called Diamond Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty well known because Eddie DeBartolo Jr., who used to own the San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. it was his winery.
Oh, wow.
And he had 1 acre, and it was on a hill, 1 acre that was his. And it was supposed to be producing the best wine they made.
Really?
And so my brother-in-law, he asked them, if you ever get a bottle from this acre, please send it to me. I'd love to try it. Next Christmas, in the mail, one of those huge bottles, the double bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't think of the name of it all of a sudden. But
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire,
plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It arrived in the mail, and my sister was like, well, let's see how much this thing's worth. And they went on eBay, and it was selling for, one of them was selling for $12,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And she said, you're going to sell this. And he's like, no, we're going to drink it. And
oh, my goodness.
I never knew what happened to that bottle.
Whether it got sold or drank.
Yes. Because he's like, I'm one of the only people in the world that can tell the difference between this bottle and those. And she's like, yeah, but we need a washer and dryer.
Right. 12 grand is 12 grand, man. That's crazy.
Anyway, that's my wine story.
Yeah. Everybody's got wine stories. They're good to have.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start taking phone calls here in just a moment. So stay tuned. The number is 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with Steve Millett. Stay tuned on the Gardening Hotline.
I stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say.
Back on the Garden Hotline, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I hear you're a Swiftie.
I love Swiftie. My daughter maybe watched the Eras Tour. Oh my gosh, that movie is just fantastic.
Yeah, she's something else. Sometimes I get over Swiftie-ized, but yeah, I like her in general.
Did you hear about the earthquakes and stuff? They measured that the number one seismic sort of human-created earthquake was by Taylor Swift's Shake It Off concert in Kansas City. Yeah, they measured like her top 10 songs that created seismic quakes.
Oh, wow.
And number one was Shake It Off because everybody's dancing and screaming.
Yeah. All right, we've got a fish story to tell. We have a two-headed snake story to tell. Do not touch your dial. We're going to go to the phones right now, though. Perry, good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning.
Hi, Perry. Where are you calling from?
Granite City.
Granite City. You got a favorite garden center that you go to over there?
Probably Home Depot or Lowe's.
Okay. Those are good hardware stores. Yeah. What's your question today?
I've got golden guanamus bushes that are, I'd say, 10% green over the last two winters. They've been decimated. What's the matter with them? And if I cut them back, would that revive them?
The guanamus bush, they'll be a little tender to some of the freezing, the ice and stuff. But you can trim it a little bit. You have some of the strays that come out. You kind of want to shape it if you want, or you can just let it go crazy. Whatever you want, but it's just hard to tell, you know, if the twigs aren't, you can peel back a little bit of the bark, and if it's green, it's still alive. If it's gray and brittle, you know it's dead. And, you know, if it's, just go take a look at Lowe's and see if you can find something that you would like to replace it if it's dying. Because these plants, you know, they're made for, not forever. Some of the perennials that we plant are short-lived perennials, and you may not have time left on that euonymus bush. If you see a decline over the last several years, I would say it may be time for it to be replaced.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Perry. We appreciate the call from the GC.
GC.
Granite City. I'm a big fan of the GC.
I never heard that. That's a good
one. I spoke to the Elks Lodge there recently.
Get
good
out.
Folks.
Yeah?
Big shout out to the Elks Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah. We had a good time.
Yeah.
We talked some horse racing. We talked some radio. And they came up to me afterwards asking a lot of questions because I used to work in the horse racing business. So
wow.
That's all they wanted to ask me about, actually, was thoroughbred racing.
You're pretty diverse, Mr. Eclectic there,
yeah.
Mr. Renaissance guy.
Yeah, this woman came up. She was 91 years old, and she was telling me about a horse she owned back in the early 90s that had won a stakes race, a big stakes race, uh-huh, out in San Francisco at Bay Meadows, a track that doesn't even exist anymore. But it was a $250,000 purse, which in 1990, That was a big purse.
Yes, yes.
And she just kept wanting to talk about it. She was so proud of her horses. I loved it. I love when people come up to me about that business.
Yeah.
Our number is 314-436-7900. The question's for Steve Millett, a plant and pest doctor. So he can talk about plant world. He can talk about pests. A couple weeks ago, we talked about moles and armadillos and deer issues. And then you were saying, we had that story this week about the 97-pound carp
that
was caught. And you told me during the break that the guy chopped up the fish and put it in his garden?
Yeah. So this guy's name is George Chance out of Festus. He's a fisherman. And he caught this invasive species. It's a big head carp on the Mississippi River on the March 19th, the last week. He was on the bank fishing for catfish with a bottom bouncing crankbait. I never heard of that before. I had to look it up because I wanted to make sure I could say it on the air. Then he hooked the fish and then he fought for like 20 minutes. He finally got to shore, and then the Missouri Department of Conservation came in. They said, "Oh, you got a state record." And then they called him the next day and he said, "Hey, you know what? You've got a world record. You've got 97 pounds. The previous record was 90. And then Chance said, he said, "I chopped the fish and put it in my garden. I'm going to eat it in the form of tomatoes and cucumbers."
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize that you could fertilize with a fish.
Fish emulsion. That's a good part of it, a good fertilizer. And when I lived in Wisconsin for 10 years, I worked with the Department of Agriculture up there with the gypsy moth program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing because a lot of my colleagues were fishermen and hunters. And they would say, "Oh, it's time to go carp fishing for this big-headed carp." And they'd have parties. They'd drink beer and eat some bratwurst. And then they'd take the fish and they'd cut them up and put them in the garden. I thought that was the oddest thing. But no, they say they swear by it. You know, makes the tomatoes really robust. And you've got that slow release nitrogen, and there's probably some quick release in there with the emulsion, and in this case, this guy George Chance, he caught it was a female, and a lot of the pounds were because of eggs, that were in the mama's belly. So that's I'm glad that he got that, because that could mean hundreds of new invasive species fish. Yeah, but they hate them up there in Wisconsin.
They hate what?
The fish, that carp. They just hate them. They just like.
Well, carp, it just sounds negative.
It does, yeah.
It doesn't sound like good to eat. I don't think I've ever eaten a carp or would want to eat a carp.
Yeah.
They're ugly fish, too.
Yeah, and and that brings up a point. We talked about this during the break, is they're trying to get people to eat this fish. So what they did was they changed it from the flat-headed carp to a kopie fish.
Kopie
fish.
That could be on the menu somewhere.
Oh, yes. It's the white, delicate fish. Delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't you say that they did that with Chilean sea bass?
Yeah, it was like Pentagonian sawtooth bass. And it's like, it doesn't
sawtooth,
sound,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
edible.
No, but you change it to Chilean sea bass. Yeah, and it's
exactly.
Like, ooh, I want some of that.
Yeah, marketing.
So that's what this is. They're trying to get people to eat more kopie fish.
Well, I don't know if this is the same thing, but with yellow pike.
Yeah.
It's also called walleye. I mean, walleye definitely sounds better than yellow pike.
Yeah, you're right. Walleye's great.
Yeah, walleye is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
I love it. I do have one fish story that I caught a northern pike once on Lake Ontario, and it was in this village, this community that had a summer-long fishing contest. And the fish that I caught ended up winning the contest at the end of the summer.
Wow.
I was only there for like a week, but my uncle sent me the trophy.
Oh, sweet.
Because my fish won, and I still have that trophy like 30 years later.
It's goodness.
I'm so proud of that thing.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
So what is it? Is it a trophy of a fish or do an
angler?
Yeah,
it's just a little fish? Plastic trophy that probably costs $2 at a trophy shop, but it has a fish on it.
Oh, cool.
Great, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
That's right. I'm still proud of that.
An accomplished angler.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to go into pro bass
every
fishing?
Every time I tell the story, my hands get farther apart.
Yeah.
That's what I was supposed to be, right? All right, let's go to the phones. Nancy, you are on the Garden Hotline. What's your question for Steve Millett?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning,
Nancy. I have
Nancy.
A question. I have two big pots that I have put in my garage to winterize, and one of them had banana tree plant in it, and the other one had the elephant ears, and I cut it off like at potting mix level, and they have sprouted in the garage. And there are the banana trees are anywhere from a foot to a foot and a half tall, and there's six of them. Mm-hmm. And in the elephant ear, I have two, and they're like 3 inches to 6 inches. And then I have another pot that has some canna bulbs that are about a foot tall. So I'm just wondering, how long do I leave them in the garage before I bring the pots out onto the sunny patio? Also, when can I divide them and put them in other pots?
You can divide them in the spring. I'd wait till, you know, spring is up and going. And some precautions, be careful with those pots because ants like to harbor in there, and especially these little small insects called springtails. So they will be in your garage if you don't take precautions. Some things you can do is you can drench it with an insecticide. That will help.
Okay.
A systemic one would be great. And because it's been in the soil for so long, did you water them over the winter, or are they completely dry?
I did not water them, but
okay. I would be worried about
in my hand, but I don't think it's wet.
I would be worried about some rot taking place there since it's been essentially dormant, sitting in the moist soil or somewhat dry soil. You can get a dry rot as well. You can also
change the potting mix anyway.
You can change when you do that, and sprinkle in some systemic fungicide, or you can get a drench as well.
Okay,
that will help that really burst out of the. The sleeping state, the dormant state. So
okay,
try those.
So how long should I leave it in the garage then, since we're kind of heading into April, but that could be iffy too. So
right, yeah, we're going to get 45, Scott said this week.
Yeah.
I wonder what the low is going to be. Maybe it'll get down in the 30s or something like that?
Probably on Tuesday.
Yeah, so be careful. Just check the temperatures. I would get them out. Put them in the shade right today because it's going to be warm today.
Mm-hmm.
Get them out, put them in the shade. You don't want to blast them right into full sun because they will, you'll burn whatever's coming up. So be careful with that. Just put it in the shade, give it some water, give it some insecticide and a fungicide and maybe a little fertilizer. You should see a burst of growth here after the sleep is done. And Chuck talked about this last week. He talked about the sleep, the creep, and then the leap. A lot of garden centers use that. So
okay. Well, when can I divide them then? Can I do that today or no?
No, I'd wait till spring's, middle April or something. So it starts, growing and stuff. Yeah. What's your favorite garden center?
Well, it used to be Bears on 55, but they closed.
Oh, so no, you got to go back. You have to go back and you go there. You tell them KMOX sent you.
Okay.
You have to go. It's called the Garden Shop. It's right next to where Bears was.
Okay.
And it's a younger couple. And it's just they moved one house down or one building down, and it's fabulous. They're full of plants, very knowledgeable, and a lot of excitement. You should go there and just check it out.
All right.
Okay.
I will. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Thanks for
Have
the call.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nancy, for calling in at 314-436-7900. We do have an 800 number. It's 1-800-925-1120. We have a wide-ranging gardening show this morning. We've been talking about fish and wine and plants.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue taking your questions with Steve Millett. We also have a story about a two-headed snake to tell you.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. The Gardening Hotline on KMOX. We are back on the Gardening Hotline on KMOX. Mike Miller sends his regards. He is still recovering, and we wish him well. Today, we have Steve Millett back as a plant and pest doctor to answer your questions. We've been talking all over the map about stuff like 97-pound fish and wine and plants. So your questions are welcome at 314-436-7900. Let's go to Wentz. Good morning. You are on the Gardening Hotline.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Wentz. Where are you calling from?
South City.
Okay.
Oh, not Wentzville.
No.
Yeah.
No, not there. Not yet, anyway.
What's your question?
We have new fescue sod that was planted laid in October.
Right.
I have not cut it yet, but I also am wondering about can I fertilize and use weed suppressant at this time now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was a turf grass pathologist, and I did some work with the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Actually, I was a fellow of the Golf GCSAA, which is an unusual...
Turf grass pathologist?
Yes.
Is that what you
study
said?
Of plant diseases, yeah. So I know a lot about turf grass, and you should be all right. You need to mow it, but don't ever mow more than one-third. And if you let it go too long, where is it right now? Is it too long?
There's spots that are getting there, but it's
all right.
It's pretty deep. It's about 3.5, maybe.
Okay, so you've got a dog in the yard. Is that what I'm saying?
No.
Okay, because a lot of times you'll get the dog poop and the dog urine. It'll cause that grass to be greener and taller, and you'll get a more lush grass leaf blade. So you have to be careful of that. And go ahead and mow it, get to it. And yes, you can do fertilizer, and yes, you can do the pre-emergent right now. You can do a pre-post to some right now. The dandelions are up, and I've seen some dandelions already that have taken that twisted stems. And even some, some brassicas that have done that twisting where you can see a wide stem, sort of a fanning of the stem. So it's working right now.
Here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the clover, sometimes you'll see clover in areas, not in your yard, but in areas where they don't fertilize at all. And they've got nothing but clover and the violets, and they're trying to, get rid of those weeds, and they'll be hit with like a 2,4-D product, and they'll start curling, and you can see that twisted growth as well on the clover.
Yeah.
But the clover's up now. We got a lot of – the zoysia will be a while yet, but you've got a tall fescue, Kentucky bluegrass mix probably, or blend.
Yeah. I used milargamite at the end of last year. Can I continue to use that this spring and into the summer?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great product. I got to visit the milargamite plant in Milwaukee, and I knew I worked at the Øyvind Juel Nohr Turf Grass Research Facility, and it was named after Øyvind Juel Nohr. He was the scientist who came after World War II. He was in the Chemical Warfare Division, and he came to Milwaukee, and he helped the Milwaukee Sewer District come up with this recipe for making something out of a waste product, which was the sewer. And mm-hmm. they've created a great product. It's great slow-release organic fertilizer. Actually, hardly, you can't burn the grass with that. It's just impossible. If you spill some of the urea products on your turf, you're going to get some burn. And the milargamite will not do that. It's a very safe product and great product, slow-release, steady outgoing. So, yeah, go ahead and use milargamite.
On the weed killer, any special formula? I mean, I'm referring to this, something like a 777 or
yeah.
That wouldn't apply to fertilizer, would it?
Yeah, nowadays you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, you can get, the Scotts program, you can get some local fertilizers as well. And they're usually paired with the appropriate ratio of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium with the spring pre-emergent herbicide. So they're not going to do like a 40-52 fertilizer with a pre-emergent. They're going to go something that it evens that growth out. So yeah, go with something. And if you want to, granular works very well. It's easier to apply down, but liquid is probably the best way to put out your herbicides. And that would be the one with the sprayer. But most people don't want to spray their whole yard. You have to get somebody in like a True Green Chemlon or a Weed Man guide come in and do that for you.
All right, Wentz, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. Wentz is not from Wentzville, though.
No.
Just want to make sure
South
that's clear.
South City.
Milargamite, can you spell it?
Yeah, Milorganite.
Man, he's good. Let's go to the phones again. Carol.
Is that a spelling bee?
Yeah. Carol, you are on the gardening hotline.
Good morning. This is Carol from Afton.
Carol from Afton, what's your favorite garden center?
Garden center?
Yes.
Oh, Walmart.
Walmart? That's a good one, too. Sure, sure.
I did something I never did before, and I got a bag of dahlia bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Little dahlia bulbs. and I planted them all over in pots, and some of them are like 6 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with them next. And plus, I took Morning Glory seeds, and now I've got a bunch of little seedlings that are about 6 inches.
That's a weed, you know. Morning Glory.
Doesn't sound like a weed.
The weed though. I need a.
What's your story, Morning Glory?
I need a vine for the for privacy that grows quickly.
Yeah. Okay. That will be it.
So what should I do? I need a vine that grows quickly.
Well, that you got your Morning Glory. That'll do it. But you know, it's an annual, and it'll be invasive, and it'll creep into your neighbor's yard, and beautiful flowers.
Because they're just little. That was just a bag of seeds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they'll take off. They will. They're a very aggressive plant.
So. No, but I'm saying, do you have a better idea for fast-growing vine there?
A vine growing on a fence?
I'm growing a privacy partial fence sort of thing.
Well, okay, you could use it like a miscanthus or some of the ornamental grasses. Do you have deer in your area?
No. I got neighbors with their porch overlooks my yard, so I want to build a partial thing right there.
Yeah, miscanthus is a tall ornamental grass. It grows rather rapidly. You could try that.
Okay.
And deer don't like that, and it's a easy plant to grow.
Well, this is inside a yard. It's a residential area. It's not going to get any deer.
Okay.
Just, I won't knock out the
forget
neighbor.
The deer comments. Just it's a great
forget the deer.
It's a great. Screen.
Plant.
Miscanthus? Everybody says like spelling bee day.
Miscanthus? Miscanthus.
Okay. Let's see. Let me get it up here. I would type it in, see if I can't do it.
It's a vine?
No, it's a grass. It's an ornamental grass. MISCANTHUS.
Okay. I was.
Hey! I'm into the next round of the spelling contest.
All right. Thanks, Carol. We appreciate you calling in. We are going to continue with your phone calls at 314-436-7900 for Steve Millett. We have to take a break. He is a plant and pest doctor. Last time we talked a lot about pests. This time more plants. But he can answer all your questions. So call in if you have one. We are going to continue on the Gardening Hotline on KMOX.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
That's right. Earlier we were talking about fish in a garden. That's appropriate. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX, and we are taking your phone calls and questions. Steve Millett is with us. He is a plant and pest doctor. Let's get back to the phones. Joan, you are on Garden Hotline.
Hi. I was wondering if I missed the window to put down my pulse pre-emergent.
You can still put it down. Yes, you can still put it down.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I needed to know.
All right. Go get them.
Go get them. All right. Now, Jim, you are next on the Garden Hotline. Jim?
Hi, Jim.
Jim, we can't understand. I think we're going to have to go to the next call. Let's see. Emily, you are next up on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, Emily. Where are you calling from?
Belleville.
All right. What's your favorite garden center?
Effingers.
Effingers. Rick and Rudy. No.
Trudy,
that's right. Rick and Trudy. Boy, I knew those guys. Those guys are great. How are you doing today? And what's your question?
I'm doing great. My question is, I have some daffodil bulbs that didn't get put in the ground probably when they should in the fall. Can I stick them in the ground now?
Yeah, you can, but I don't think they'll come up. I think I had this call like 2 weeks ago. Just throw them out. How much did they pay? How much did you pay for them?
Not very much.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't get them at Effingers. Not that they're expensive, but they're from Walmart.
So you bomb at Walmart. They're cheap and low quality. And I'm not saying, well, I shouldn't say that. They're probably good quality. I'll take that back. But yeah, just throw them out. You could try, but yeah.
All right. I might experiment.
Yeah, that's part of gardening, is experimenting. See what happens.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Emily. We appreciate it. You can tell the truth here, Steve. It's okay. Londi, you're next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi.
Hi, Londi. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Louis, North Side.
North Side, okay. What's your favorite garden center?
Hartke,
okay. Sweet. Very good. Independent. I like it. What's your question today?
Well, I've been going to try to find some pre-emergent.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go, they give me all these different items. And I'm not sure what pre-emergent even is. It doesn't say it on the package, but I buy all these different crab killers, fertilizers, crab killers and fertilizers together. You know, I don't know. Can you tell me a name brand for pre-emergent?
Oh, there's a name you can, there's, you know, Halts, the last caller called in. There's you know, Scott's Turf, there's that one.
Turf Builder.
Yeah, those are very good ones. Just go to Hartke and ask them, you know, what they have. They're local to you, I hope, and go there and ask them to help you make a selection. But what pre-emergence herbicides do is they act on the germinating seed. They keep it from becoming a plant. So they just knock out some cell metabolism in the seed when it's coming up, and it causes death. So when these crabgrass seeds start to germinate, they die, and you don't get them to be large plants. So that's basically what they do. And it's usually paired with a fertilizer that's in the correct ratio of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium to deliver really good growth in the spring, but not too much. And make sure you follow the label rate on that, because if you put too much, you'll get a surge in growth, and you don't want that. You want to follow the label. It's usually like a spreader setting on your spreader, whether it be a hand spreader or a push behind one. But you need one of those too. You just can't go out with a bag and a scoop or a plastic cup and spray it around, because you'll get funny lines in your yard. There'll be like these big green Nike swooshes in your yard. So don't do that. You need to get a spreader. Or you can have a landscaper do it for you. You know.
Well, that's not an option.
Okay.
I am the landscaper.
There you go.
Okay. The other question is, it would be overkill to get the crab grass killer and the turf builder, right? I don't need both. Is that correct?
I think there's two different. There's, I think the turf builders. They're,
it's got everything in it.
Yeah.
It's like a three, it's got three things in it.
It's got a pre, post, and fertilizer, probably. Yeah, you don't need a pre-emergent plus fertilizer plus another bag with fertilizer. You just need one.
I don't need that crabgrass killer, because I got a lot of crabgrass that I'm trying to kill.
Okay, yeah. Go with what your Heineke store has and ask them. They'll be able to help you pick out which one you want.
Okay. Yeah. I should probably take a picture of what I'm trying to kill into the nurses.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, or just bring in the plants and stick it in a wet paper towel, and then stick it in a baggie and bring it in to the garden center. They should be able to identify crabgrass easy.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Get your hands dirty today.
All right. Thanks for the call, Londi. We appreciate it. The number is 314-436-7900. We're taking your questions for Steve Millett, a plant and pest doctor. We send our best to Mike Miller, who is still recovering, and he sends his regards to you. We will continue with the phone calls, and we've got some stories to tell coming up in the next hour of the Garden Hotline on KMOX.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And once again, I am filling in as the host of the program, along with our expert, Steve Millett, a plant and pest doctor, taking your phone calls this morning on the Garden Hotline. The number is 314-436-7900. And I'm going to start out with a call because Denny has been waiting patiently. So, Denny, what is your question on the Garden Hotline?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Denny. How are you? Where are you calling from?
St. Clair, Missouri.
St. Clair. What's your favorite garden center?
Hillman's.
What is it?
Hillman's Nursery.
Hillman's Nursery. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's in Washington, Missouri.
Okay, cool. What's your question for us?
I have a above-ground container that I've used the last couple of years for growing tomatoes. It does a great job. Mm-hmm. Should I, this would be the third year, should I try to replace that dirt or just add compost to it or treat it or should I do anything to it?
What do you mean by dirt? Is it like a horticulture substrate with peat moss, perlite, vermiculite in it, yeah, or is it just soil from the ground, native soil?
Put, a combination of potting soil and top soil and peat moss in it when I first, you know, made it. Yeah.
So you engineered your own potting mix. That's totally cool.
Right.
And it holds water well, I imagine, with the top soil.
Uh-huh.
In it.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yeah, it's about 3 by 3 by 8 foot.
Have you had any disease problems or insect problems in that pot the last 3 years?
I keep it sprayed well, and use the calcium spray on it, and they do really good. I get a lot of nice big tomatoes from. I just usually have two plants in there, and they do really good.
You cage them, or do you stake them, or what do you do?
I stake them. Yes.
Your irrigation is drip, or you just do it by hand?
It just drains.
Okay.
The bottom of the container is open, so it just.
So you just take a hose to it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Cool. And then you fertilize well with a blossom, and then maybe some calcium in there to prevent the calcium blossom end rot. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you know. There's a saying. You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep trying. And one more question: hematodes. Are they any good? What can you tell me about? Do you recommend them?
You mean nematodes?
Nematodes,
yeah, those little small little flatworms. Are you trying to use it for a biological agent for control?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, they do work in greenhouses. I'm not sure how well they work outdoors. And the only problem is you have to buy a lot of them, and you have to apply them basically every time you water.
Mm, okay.
So what sort of insects are you trying to get rid of?
Well, just the basic, just kind of maintain.
Uh-huh.
I've got a nice yard, and I like to keep it that way. And I've just heard about these nematodes, and the kind I'm looking at are in a hose-end, sprayer.
Right.
You know, that you can use, I don't know how often you have to use them. You say every time you water, you have to use them?
Yeah, it gets really expensive. And that's the big knock on biological controls. You have to keep putting inputs and buying the nematodes a lot. So where are you trying to get them? You get them on Amazon, or what are you doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Amazon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I appreciate it, Steve.
You're welcome.
Happy Easter to you all.
Get your hands dirty today.
I'll try to, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I haven't heard that one before. Nematodes.
Nematodes, yes.
They're not toads.
No, they're small roundworms. They're the only animal that causes plant disease. What they do, they're a very big problem in corn and soybeans. Soybean cyst nematode, I think you've heard of. And then there's also Molloidogyne nematodes that are problems on a lot of different crops, including corn. And they get in like sandy soils, and they just devastate roots. And you'll get, on the soybean cyst, you'll get nodules, and they just ruin the stunt the crops. You'll get lower yields with soybeans and crops and other plants. And even in golf courses, they have the nematodes. So it's a problem.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you are the pest expert.
Yes.
We've talked about all kinds of pests in the past, and we'll take your calls on that subject and plants as well at 314-436-7900. If you live out of the area and are listening on our free Odyssey app and would like to use the 1-800 number, it's 1-800-925-1120. Now I think it's time to tell the story of the two-headed snake.
The two-headed snake?
Yes.
Let's go through that. So last time I was on, 2 weeks ago, we talked, a listener called in and talked about Powder Valley Nature Center, Missouri Department of Conservation, how you can have a heart traps there for catching hedgehogs or other wildlife. And what's good, I got a lot of calls about that too, even after the show. It was, they like it because it's those traps are seasoned. They're not straight out of a box from Walmart or Lowe's or whatever, or from Amazon. They're seasoned. What do you think that means?
seasoned.
Yes.
Salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper. It's got some stank on it is what it's got on. So they've been used by this caught. These seasoned traps are traps that have caught raccoons, skunks. They just stink like wild animals. So trappers prefer that. And that's a big thing is to get seasoned traps. So anyway, Powder Valley Nature Center, they were in the news last week. They have a two-headed snake. It underwent surgery last week. The snake's name was Tiger Lily. It's a western rat snake that was being cared for by Powder Valley Nature Center in Kirkwood and had to have surgery. And the health team from the St. Louis Zoo had to do the surgery.
Hmm.
And as soon as she heals, she'll be going on a tour with Taylor Swift on her Reptiles tour. I'm just kidding there. That's not a real thing. But the snake, Tiger Lily, is going on a tour of the Missouri Department of Conservation sites across the state.
So I thought two heads are better than one.
Yeah. Rat snakes, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of, they're not supposed to have two heads. Yeah. So they were like formed together, so they're very special.
They were merged? That was the surgery?
It's like a Siamese twin, basically.
I was going to say. So,
yeah. The surgery that they had, their ovaries were bleeding, so they had to remove the ovaries so it's not fertile anymore. So, and usually they in the wild, if you have two-head snakes, mm-hmm. you don't last very long. But rat snakes are great because they eat rodents, they eat voles, meadow mice, they eat moles. So it's a great thing to have. I had one customer who wanted a black rat snake removed, and there was a plumber at his house. He says, "Oh, well, I'll take it. I'll take that rat."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Yeah, well, listen to this guy. You should just leave this rat. I'll get it out of your garage, but I think you should leave it because you don't have any mice problems now."
Here's a follow-up question, Steve. If you have two heads, does that mean he can eat twice as many rodents?
Well, I don't know. You imagine them trying to fight over, you know, who gets what? Right. Oh, you take the end this time.
No. So this snake, is it going to be at the zoo? Or just on a...
No, the zoo health team came in and did the surgery. I don't know if they did that there or at the zoo or at Powder Valley, but I don't know where it is right now, but this was like this week, and apparently they're going on a Missouri Department of Conservation tour with Tiger Lily, the two-headed western rat snake.
Interesting. All right.
So Powder Valley again
coming
on our
show.
Yes.
Coming through. All right, we are going to go to a quick break here. Steve Millett is our guest, a plant and pest doctor, taking your calls at 314-436-7900, and we'll get to those calls in just a moment on the Garden Hotline. We are back on the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. Mike Miller sends his best. He is in recovery and hopes to be back soon. We have still Steve Millett returning. He's a plant and pest doctor with a St. Louis family-owned company answering your questions about pests and plants. And the number is 314-436-7900. We've had a lot of fun so far this morning mm-hmm. with fish and two-headed snakes and wine and all kinds of stuff. So let's continue with the phone calls. Mary Ann, you are next up on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, Mary Ann. How are you?
I'm good, and I thank you for your service. I have a question about zoysia. Last year, my zoysia yard started dying up. I'm in Jefferson County, which is rock, so that was the best thing I could think of to put down is zoysia, and we put down 2 pallets of this zoysia sod, and it's been there for like almost 15 years, and I've just got this mass, like it's coming up and up and up, and it just looks like it's dying, and I don't want to lose it.
Okay. Have you fertilized it recently?
Well, that's what I need to know, since the fact that zoysia is a weed, I understand.
No, you planted it. So what a weed is it's a plant out of place. You planted it there, it's not a weed. Okay. It's a great, great turf grass. It's some people call it the golden grass because it's so beautiful. Yeah.
Right. We had it in Florissant. So then when we moved to Jefferson County and I was cutting rock every year instead of, the yard because the rock kept coming up. And this has been a great cover. But, so what would I fertilize it with? Is there something in particular? Because that's what I was worried about. If it was just the fertilizing of it or what I needed to do.
Yeah, I would do a slow release and only do it in those warm summer months, you know, June, July, August.
Okay.
And you may need to, is it kind of fluffy? So when you squishy when you walk on it? Feel like you're walking on a mattress or something?
Well, parts of it, I could say, that have not been eroded yet. Because, I mean, it's coming, like it's almost moving.
Okay, you may need to get it dethatched. So what happens is zoysia is a very vigorous grass, and it needs to be, the old material needs to be, I guess, raked out. Dethatched is what they call it. And your
and
lawn care
thing that you put on your mower, right? And you just detach it with your mower, or what do you do?
Yeah, I would. You know, how big a yard do you have? Is it like a 10,000 square feet? Half acre. Okay, I'd get somebody to do it for you.
Okay.
And there's plenty of lots of landscape companies out there that do dethatching, and they what they'll do is they'll come and dethatch, and then they'll fertilize for you. It doesn't. Zoysia doesn't need much fertilizer compared to bluegrass. Or tall fescue. It doesn't need as much because it's got a shorter growing season and it's a more efficient turf grass. It's it's a C4 grass. So its photosynthesis is more efficient. It uses less water and makes more energy than a C3 plant, like the Kentucky bluegrass and the tall fescue. So get a professional to come in and you don't have to worry about it. You'll get it done right and it'll look great.
Oh, great, because I want it back again, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Get your hands dirty today.
Get your hands dirty today, says Steve.
That's right.
All right, Linda, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I like to get my hands dirty. I try wearing garden gloves, but it doesn't work. I throw them off, and there you go.
Where are you calling from?
South County.
South County. You go to, what's your favorite garden center that you go to?
We go to Wheat Top.
Wheat Top, that's great. Yes, it's got the other businesses right there, right in a line. Not Creekside, but what are the other ones that are right next to it?
You know? Oh yeah, Hagley too is a really good one. They really have the healthiest plants that I've ever gotten. Like, I think I bought hanging baskets from them either 2 or 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're so beautiful, just geraniums. I hang them in my windows down the basement in the winter, and they just come right back with a little new potting soil and some food, and they come right back and bloom beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, they're a little more expensive, but if you're only buying it like every 3 years, you know, you're saving money. People go and buy stuff like from Menards or that. It's like $5, and you get what you pay for.
Yeah, one season, yeah. No, that's great. They got really good products there, for sure.
And I'm really glad to hear, what is the name of the nursery that's there at 55 that took over for Bears? Is it still Bears?
It's called the Garden Shop. It's the one on Hampton?
Oh, well, yeah, we used to love to go there, too.
Hampton, I'm talking about the Hampton and Filer location.
No, it's there. It's not in Imperial anymore. Out there.
Yeah, I don't know about the one in Imperial. I knew that they had a different location. I don't know. I know the one on Hampton is no longer there, the Bear. And that's replaced by the Garden Shop.
The Garden Shop, okay.
On Hampton, Southampton in the city.
I thought you said that was the one out in Imperial, that they hit just one of the buildings there. But, yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay.
Okay. Well, great.
All right.
And happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter, yes, it is. Do you have any hellebore in your garden?
No, I don't.
Lenten rose, that's out blooming right now. It's a very pretty flower, very green, deer-resistant. It's got like a plum flower. And it comes out, they call it the Lenten rose because it comes out during Lent season. And
I just got the Gateway Gardener, I think, and they were in there showing them. How long do they bloom? Do they bloom very long?
Spring, and they'll come back. Yeah, they're pretty easy to grow. And you know, it's a great plant for this time of year, you know, being Easter tomorrow. You know, Jesus, you know, he died on the cross for our sins, and then there's a resurrection, it's a rebirth. That's why, you know, they have that hellebore. It's a resurrection of springtime. Plants are coming back.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got a dogwood tree out in the common ground in front of our house that we kind of take care of, too. Mm-hmm. And somebody knocked one of the branches off. So I have it, you know, I wouldn't let it just lay there and throw it in the trash. It's blooming in my dining room.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful.
Is it white or the pink one?
It's white.
White. Okay. Yeah, that's gorgeous. Yeah.
The edges of the petals are supposed to represent the
crucifix,
the nail. Yeah, the nail scars in Jesus' hands. Yeah,
yeah, it's a crucifix. There's four petals on that, and yeah, I didn't know about that. Right. I didn't know about the nail holes. Yeah,
yeah, that's, I think the little edges are kind of reddish brown, and that's what they're supposed to represent. But I think you really get it. You know,
gospel
message. Wonderful. Thanks for talking about
it. Thank you, Linda.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for calling. I seem to be sensing a trend here with some of these names, like Hellbore.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound pleasant, but it's a really pretty flower.
Oh,
but then the Morning Glory, which sounds wonderful, is insipid.
Yeah. Yeah, Morning Glory, Oasis song. What's your story, Morning Glory?
That's right. All right, Bill, you are up next on the Garden Hotline. Good morning.
I got two questions for you. When is a good time to put your hummingbird feeders out? And second is, when I'm planting my elephant hairs, what is a good fertilizer for them?
For what? What was the last one?
Elephant ears.
For elephant ears?
Elephant ears, what is a good fertilizer for them?
I just go with a slow release. You know, put it around the drip line of the elephant ear.
Okay.
And just water that in. Milorganite would be a good one. We talked about that today, but you can get plenty of them.
Okay. Hummingbird feeder, when is a good time to put that out?
When you see them. I don't know much about, I'm not an ornithologist, but I'm sure some of our listeners may know what that is. But I would imagine when they're migrating, that'd be the time to put them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, and don't eat too many jelly beans, okay?
All right. Yeah, that's right. Not much chocolate.
I would think they'd be here soon, the hummingbirds.
Yeah. I haven't seen them up in the yards. I've seen like a lot of the finch feeders. I've seen the yellow.
Well, they saw the weather forecast, and they realized that it's going to be 45 on Tuesday, so they're waiting until it warms up.
Let's hold back, they say.
Yeah. Okay, we will continue with the phone calls now. Sherry, good morning. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, Steve. Tell Bill I put mine out on tax day, April 15th. That's usually when they show up around here.
Right. Okay.
But my question is about squash bugs. I have a terrible, I get my pumpkins and squash and zucchini going, and then these terrible things show up.
Yeah, you get the fruit forming, and then all of a sudden, what happened to it? Yeah, they're horrible. You got to be on top of that. You got to spray that. Those things, they have a bacteria in their little stabber there that they use to suck the juice out of the vine. And that bacteria causes a wilt, and it just annihilates your plant. Yeah, I tried a couple of years in this my St. Louis garden, and I had no, you know, being a pest expert, I didn't want to spray it every week. I'm like, I'm just going to get my pumpkin at, Gokey's Farm out in St. Charles, you know, Herman's Farm Orchard.
Yeah.
They got a great pumpkin patch out there. You should go out there. And then,
you got
Eckert's over
just
there.
So thrill. Yeah. Just the thrill of it for your grandkids, I guess, is why I was trying. But
yeah, you got a lot of room.
I do. I have 10 acres, but I have a big bunch of raised beds that I grow those in. And last year, they even got on my zucchini, and you know that's like a major disappointment.
So yeah, you have to apply insecticides. You got to do that weekly, and it's just a lot of work.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well,
I would have fun. Instead of planting those, I'd go to the farmer's market over at Targrove Park and buy whatever I wanted there. Farmer's markets are great, you know.
Yes, I think I might have to admit defeat and take your plan up.
Yeah, grow something easy.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Tower Grove Farmer's Market. That's another thing that should be coming up soon.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
I don't know when it is.
I love it. I love it on Saturday, and I love it on Tuesday afternoons as well.
I've never been to the Tuesday one. Yeah,
yeah, it's lighter. There's not as many booths, but it's not as much traffic either.
Right. So it gets loaded.
You just kind of walk around easily, but it still has some of the same places to get your vegetables and fruits and all kinds of other things. Cocktails.
Artisanal cheeses and stuff. Yeah. Cocktails. Yeah, that's
cocktails
true.
Cocktails too. All right. It is 9:31. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We will continue with your phone calls for Steve Millett, a plant and pest doctor with a St. Louis family-owned company, in just a moment. The number is 314-436-7900. Back on the Garden Hotline, Steve, you know that song?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the song,
well,
though.
What's the guess?
R.E.M.?
It is R.E.M.
Yeah, thank
you. You don't know the name of the song?
No, what is it?
Gardening Night.
Oh my gosh, yes, that's right.
Now, I picked this specifically because Mike Mills from R.E.M.
Uh-huh.
is going to be in town on Friday night at Stiefel with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, my gosh.
They're playing REM songs.
Oh, I can't wait. That'd be great.
It's going to be great.
Are you going to go?
Yes, I'm definitely going to go.
Yeah.
Mike Mills, he was on the Chris and Amy show this week to talk about it.
Yeah.
REM is never going to play together again.
Yeah, that's
he said. But they do play together as individual band members, not as REM.
Yeah.
One project they do is called the Baseball Project, and they do songs about baseball.
Huh.
Former members of REM. Anyway, I thought of Gardening at Night would
That's
be appropriate for this program. And Steve Millett is our guest. He is a plant and pest doctor. And before the break, we were talking about the Tower Grove Farmers Market. I was right. It is starting next Saturday, April 6th, from 8 to noon. And then the Tuesday one starts on May 7th.
Okay.
So that's coming up. I also wanted to mention that Rockwell Beer Garden in Francis Park has its own farmer's market. And that is on Thursdays starting on May 2nd.
Are they going to make any, afternoon. What is it, the March beer? The March beer?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a great place. It's right next to the tennis and pickleball courts in Francis Park. Great little spot. And they have good pizza. All right, let's continue with the phone calls at 314-436-7900. Judy, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Judy. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
What's your favorite garden center?
Prairie Gardens.
What was that?
Prairie Gardens in Champaign.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Illinois. I'm calling from Illinois.
Awesome.
I have a mature sweet gum tree that needs trimming. And I'd like to know what time of year would be best for that.
Well, it's, you know, I would stay away from the beautiful foliage in the fall because that's what you want to do.
Okay.
Even there's no real cool flowers on the sweet gum. I would say you could probably do it now. Just get that trimmed, get a good arborist. You could look for someone who's certified arborist. Come in and do that. You know, you see I cut trees signs on a piece of cardboard stapled to a telephone pole. Don't do that because they're probably not insured. And if they do make a mistake and a limb lands on someone's yard or something or somebody gets hurt, they're not insured. You could be held liable. So make sure they're certified arborists and then get that done. You can probably get it done in the spring or you can wait till the summer.
After it starts leaving out, is that a bad time? Should we wait till fall?
They'll probably just want to shape it. I mean, they're not going to like top it or anything. Don't let anybody try and top your tree. You know what that is?
Yes, I do. And we've had that done years and years ago.
Yeah,
and we still have the tree, luckily.
Yeah.
But it's close to the house. We planted too close.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're worried about spring storms and
Are the branches going on the roof and stuff?
They're not quite yet. But
can the squirrels jump?
Make that squirrels leap? Can jump, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's the problem. You get a lot of pests that way. Squirrels like to hop over and then they'll be digging a hole in your attic and just overwintering or hiding out there. You can get spiders, brown recluse spiders can get in there. Tree spiders can get in there. Ants like to do that. They'll just climb over a limb. They'll even climb down your telephone line going from the pole.
Oh, really?
All the way to your house. And that's how
I can't take out my telephone.
No. But yeah, if it's away from your house, yeah, you need to keep a border around that house. And, you know, I'm in the neighborhoods a lot, and I see a lot of trees and bushes that are overgrown. You know, like, oh, I've had that for 20 years. Well, it's about time you get a new one because it's up against your window. Your window is like halfway covered by this boxwood, and you can't walk. You should have like a space between your plants and your edge, the perimeter of your house. So you need to think about that.
Right. Well, we want to keep the tree. It provides a lot of shade, and
yeah, they could shape
really
it
pretty.
Yeah, and keep it away from the house.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Judy, for calling in. We go next to Robert. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and program.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
And I have a couple questions. What is a good fertilizer or plant food for hostas? And then what's a good plant fertilizer food for blueberries and honeyberries?
Okay, well... I don't know about the honeyberries, but I know blueberries, they need an acidic fertilizer. So you need something with a high sulfur content. You can go out and get something like Holytone. I don't know if there's a specific blueberry fertilizer out there, but you want something with sulfur, or just get like a Plantone or Holytone. Holytone's a very acidic fertilizer as well, and you can plant some... or spread some sulfur around the root zone of your blueberries. Blueberries, you have a soil test done on that area where you're going to plant the blueberries?
No.
You should get that done. It costs you like $20. You take soil sample, you send it to University of Missouri and the soil department up there, and then they'll tell you what your soil pH, your organic matter is, and then the different levels of nutrients, elements that you need for your plants, and they'll give you a recommendation. You'll circle the thing, I'm planting blueberries. I say, well, you need sulfur, because usually some of the soils in the city are alkaline. So you're going to need to drop that pH. So
okay,
you knew about
well,
that, right?
I'm out a little bit. I'm out in Pacific. I'm not in the city.
Okay.
Honeyberries are very, very similar to blueberries.
Okay.
And they're supposedly a lot easier to grow.
Yeah, you better check your soil first, because it needs a lower pH, like a 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
And most soils in Missouri are like 7, 7.5, uh-huh. 6.5.
Okay.
So you need them very acidic. Otherwise, they won't grow at all.
Uh-huh.
It won't perform. So, and then the hostas, you can just get Plantone by Espoma. It's a really nice, organic, easy, non-burning fertilizer. Milorganite's another good choice. Milorganite is another very good fertilizer. It's a slow-release sewer product from Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the Miracle-Gro, the hose end things can work too. And you can get some granular that would, any garden center will be able to have. What's your favorite garden center?
Engelhardt's out in Pacific.
Okay, great.
They grow everything organically out there.
Okay, well then they'll have what you need there. And ask them specifically about blueberries. And you need to get your soil tested.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. They have any and every kind of vegetable plant just about, and lots of flowers, flowering plants and shrubs, whatever. I mean.
Okay. Well, that's great. Why don't you get out there and get to it?
I am.
Get your hands dirty.
Just waiting for
that's right.
Yep.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call. Milorganite, that is our word of the day, apparently.
Yeah, don't ask me to spell it again.
Okay. All right, our phone lines are open for the next few minutes. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX.
Dwight Yoakam.
I thought it was Buck Owens.
Same thing. Yeah.
Well, it's not the same thing.
He's influenced. Buck Owens influenced Dwight Yoakam, yeah.
Okay, but this is by request.
They're both on the song.
Oh, they both are singing. I was like, okay. I knew you were going to play a Buck Owens song. That's the one about the streets of Bakersfield.
Huh.
Yeah. That is by request, Steve Millett, our guest today,
sweet.
Plant and pest doctor. We were able to get in some Buck Owens and Dwight Yoakam, and previously we had some Taylor Swift.
That's right.
Because you're a Swiftie.
Yeah, R.E.M. was my favorite.
And R.E.M.
Yes.
So We've had a good show so far.
Yeah, very eclectic.
We talked about some wine. We talked about a 97-pound fish that got chopped up and put in a garden. World record fish, by the way.
Not your regular garden hotline talk show.
Yeah, exactly. But we are taking your questions. If you do have questions about plants and pests, Steve Millett is a plant and pest doctor for a St. Louis family-owned company. And our number is 314-436-7900. We have just a few minutes left, so let's get to Mark. Mark, you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. My wife likes to plant sunflowers in a big patch and also some zinnias. And we struggle with weeds in it.
Okay.
And I was throwing out the idea that if we plant the seeds and wait for them to come up, and then spread some like crabgrass preventer or whatever that product is you can throw over preen, I think, or something like that, you know, so no weeds come, nothing comes up after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, do you think that would work?
I'd be careful. You need to check the label. It'll tell you what plants you can and cannot use on. I would say anything with food consumption, I'd probably stay away from. I've seen people use newspaper, old carpets, to just the ground cover.
It's more or less just for the beauty of the flowers.
Right.
But it worked by not letting anything come up after, you know, you put it down. So once the plants are germinated and out of the ground, the desired plants, put that down and maybe it'll keep something else from coming up.
Yeah, you need to read the label. Every herbicide has an ingredient list on it, active ingredient, and then you need to see if the plants are on that list. I know one horticulturalist who had used Preen Plus, and he put it over some ornamental plants, and it stunted them, and they didn't bloom. So you got to be careful with that. If he would just use the Preen, it would have been fine, but he used the Preen Plus, and that's the one that caused the root problems. So you have to be very careful with that. And it's all on the label. And you need to follow the label. And if it's not on there, then you really shouldn't use it. Okay. All right.
Thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate it. Larry, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks. I appreciate the service that you provide.
Where are you calling from?
In St. Louis here.
Okay.
I have a question for you. I have two different locations that I have peonies or peonies, and they get the past couple of years they get like a black color, you know, to them or whatever, and then they don't produce, and I've tried, you know, like fungal type stuff, but I don't know if you have a recommendation for that. And I also have a second question.
Okay. Is it just on the leaves, or you don't have it on the flowers?
The leaves.
Yeah. Okay. That's usually you'll see in the fall when it starts to go the shorter days and cooler, those leaves start to senesce, and
it comes on.
Okay. Well, it before, could. So this is before in the springtime, then.
Like you know, as soon as like the you know they get like I would say like in June it starts and get start they start to get.
Okay, that could be like a fungal disease, like Phomopsis. Have you tried a fungicide?
I did. It was one I had for my apple trees, but it didn't seem to do anything.
Okay, you can get a systemic insecticide, fungicide product at some of the hardware stores, and use that. You get like a hose end thing. It'll work on preventing the fungal diseases, and it'll prevent the insects from chewing on your leaves and stuff. But peonies really don't have a problem. But you got to be careful with the peonies because the ants play a sort of a mutualistic. Well, they benefit the flower plant by eating the sap on the fruit bud.
And the bulbs.
Yeah, so that's necessary. So you got to be careful not to do that at that time. So
okay. And my second question is, I have several Osage orange trees.
Yeah.
And some produce, you know, the
hedge balls,
but I have one that is like never produced them. Are the trees, you know, sexed or not?
Are they dioecious? I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
But yeah, those things are great. Those big, the hedge balls that come down, some people use them. they'll just throw them in their crawl space in their basement. Try to use it as a, it's like an old Pioneer insecticide.
Insecticide, right? Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
yeah, you know that and tobacco would work well back in the day.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So, it, those are great trees. They used to be made for fence rows. Beautiful, beautiful leaves and bark. Yeah, really dominant tree. So, all right. Well, thank you for your questions.
Thanks for the call. Steve, you had a book you wanted to mention?
Yeah, real quick. I've got, this has been an eclectic. We talked about how weird this show has been. I'm going to call it a polymathing it. Polymath. sort of a renaissance. I'm going to bring in literature and my favorite garden novel. Okay, it's Voltaire's Candide, which was written in 1759. This novel helped precipitate the French Revolution. And it still its impact is still on us today. It's his best known work, Candide is, by Voltaire. It's an adventure story, a picturesque novel, satire all rolled into one. It's a story about Candide, the main character. He stumbles through all these misadventures and peril and pain and agony. And they have several garden quotes in there. And one of them was at the beginning, the character called Pangloss, he says, "For when a man was placed in the Garden of Eden, he was put there, ut apparetu eum, which translates into he should cultivate. This means having idle hands is bad. You need to get your hands dirty."
That's right.
Later on in the novel, a character named Martin, he's let us work without disputing. It's the only way to make life tolerable. That's another thing. Just keep your mind focused on yourself. At the end of the novel, the surviving characters create a garden. And this garden represents the cultivation and propagation of life, which despite all the misery that they survived, the characters still humbly chose to embrace gardening. All right. And this is where the most famous quote came up was, "One must cultivate one's own garden." All right. So what I want you to do today is to go out and cultivate your own garden. Get your hands dirty. And can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Steve Millett, thanks so much. It's been fun the whole couple hours here on the Garden Hotline on KMOX.
I remember when Mary Lou said you won't walk me home.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
On the leaves, or you don't have it on the flowers?
Leaves.
Yeah, okay. That's usually you'll see in the fall when it starts to go the shorter days and cooler, those leaves start to senesce. And that's, there's,
it, it's. It comes on.
Okay, well, it before, could. The, yeah. So this is before? In the springtime then?
Like, you know, as soon as, like, the, you know, they get, like, I would say, like, in June it starts and get start they start to get.
Okay, that could be, know, like, a fungal disease, like phimopsis. Have you tried a fungicide?
I did. It was one I had for my apple trees, but it didn't seem to do anything.
Okay, you can get a systemic insecticide, fungicide product at some of the hardware stores, and use that. You get like a hose end thing. It'll work on preventing the fungal diseases, and it'll prevent the insects from chewing on your leaves and stuff. But peonies really don't have a problem. But you got to be careful with the peonies because the ants play a sort of a mutualistic. Well, they benefit the flower plant by eating the sap on the fruit bud.
And the bulbs.
Yeah, so that's necessary. So you gotta be careful not to do that at that time. So
okay. And my second question is, I have several Osage orange trees.
Yeah.
And some produce, you know, the
hedge balls.
I have one that is like never produced them. Are the trees, you know, sexed or not?
Are they dioecious? I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
But yeah, those things are great. Those big, the hedge balls that come down. Some people use them. They'll just throw them in their crawl space in their basement. Try to use it as a, it's like an old Pioneer insecticide.
Right. Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that and tobacco would work well back in the day.
Yeah. But
yeah. So it, those are great trees. They used to be made for fence rows. Beautiful, beautiful leaves and bark. Yeah. Really dominant tree. So, all right. Well, thank you for your questions.
Thanks for the call. Steve, you had a book you wanted to mention?
Yeah, real quick. I've got, this has been an eclectic. We talked about how weird this show has been. I'm going to call it a polymathing it. Polymath. sort of a renaissance. I want to bring in literature and my favorite garden novel. Okay, it's Voltaire's Candide, which was written in 1759. This novel helped precipitate the French Revolution. And it's still, its impact is still on us today. It's his best known work, Candide is, by Voltaire. It's an adventure story, a picturesque novel, satire all rolled into one. It's a story about Candide, the main character. He stumbles through all these misadventures and peril and pain and agony. And they have several garden quotes in there. And one of them was at the beginning, the character called Pangloss, he says, "For when a man was placed in the Garden of Eden, he was put there, ut apparetu eum, which translates into he should cultivate. This means having idle hands is bad. You need to get your hands dirty."
That's right.
Later on in the novel, a character named Martin, he's let us work without disputing. It's the only way to make life tolerable. That's another thing. Just keep your mind focused on yourself. At the end of the novel, the surviving characters create a garden, and this garden represents the cultivation and propagation of life, which despite all the misery that they survived, the characters still humbly chose to embrace gardening. All right. And this is where the most famous quote came up was, "One must cultivate one's own garden." All right. So what I want you to do today is to go out and cultivate your own garden. Get your hands dirty. And can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Steve Millett, thanks so much. It's been fun the whole couple hours here on the Garden Hotline on KMOX.
I remember when Mary Lou said you won't walk me home.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.